Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my audience out there. This is Monette Legs, and you have called in live for the Mojo Talk Radio Show. John couldn't be with us tonight. He's at work, but I have two special guests on tonight's show. We have the beautiful and talented Tabitha Briscoe and the lovely and talented Tammy Keith, who will help us out tonight. Well, if my voice sounds a little raspy, it's because it is raspy. I was just diagnosed with bronchitis. I feel okay, but a little heavy in my chest, and my voice is kind of giving out on me. But, hey, we're going to have the show anyway. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk, and we're going to chat. But first, John and I would like to thank you all for calling into the Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show because we believe that marriage really matters. We believe that our audience believes that, too. That's why you called in. So allow me to disclose that this is an open dialogue forum that will allow you to ask questions or express your thoughts about the subject matter. Well, what's our topic for tonight? Our topic is what a girl wants, what a girl needs. But before we hit the topic, first I would like to tell you a little bit about the show. The platform of our show is to simply promote marriage and demote divorce. It's basically about relationships, okay? And so John and I are not licensed counselors or experts, but we feel that we are led by God to help individuals understand the principles of marriage and relationships and to help restore marriages as a whole. So we encourage you to continue to call in and help us as we help others. On our show, we have discussed topics such as the benefits of marriage, baby mama drama, that was a huge hit, blended family, loving when it hurts, sex saved and sanctified. Oh, my goodness, that was a huge topic. And again, we'd like to thank Pastor James Keith for his expertise on the subject matter. He did a good job. He helped us out on that topic. You know, sometimes we as women, we can just, we could talk all day long, but it's always good to hear a male's perspective about things, and he was great concerning that topic. First of all, we want to encourage you that if you're not able to call in on any Tuesday, feel free to log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Granny's Place Ministries. Or you can just Google Granny's Place Ministry or Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show, and you will find our shows out there available for you to listen to at your leisure. So in the future, we're going to have other shows. We'll discuss topics like dating before and after marriage, in-law issues, money and marriage, how to keep the flame burning, patience, not punishment, dealing with children from another mother or another father. What's mine is going to be another topic. Dealing with the dominant. The things I love about my mate. How to move forward after a broken relationship. And I can speak on that firsthand. Should a woman really act like a lady but think like a man? We might need to talk about that. So, guess what? We're going to dive into tonight's topic, what a girl wants, what a girl needs. So, ladies, what are some of our wants versus our needs? Hey, if you're on the phone out there, I'm going to ask that you mute your phone until you have a question or a concern, and then you can take your phone off of mute, please. We just want to keep down the background noise. Thank you very much. So, ladies, what are some of our wants versus our needs? Do we need a new purse or do we want a new purse? Do we need new clothes or do we want new clothes? Do we need a bigger ring or do we want a bigger ring? Do we need more attention? Do we want more attention? Do we need more intimacy or do we want more intimacy? Do we need more communication or do we want less communication? Do we want or do we need more? you know, why is it that women have men who buy them gifts, and then they say things like, oh, he buys me gifts, but I need more of his time. It seems like we always need more. Or what about women who might have a highly sexually active husband, but they complain about sex all the time, and they say, you know, sex is good, but he doesn't make enough money, so he needs more money to pay our bills. It always seems to be something with us, right, ladies? Is there a happy balance? And I guess that's why we're going to have this conversation tonight. You know, we need to understand if whether or not we can ever be satisfied. So I have two ladies on tonight's show as my guests. As I mentioned earlier, I have the lovely and talented Tabitha Briscoe. Tabitha, are you out there?
I am. Hi, sis.
Hi. Hello. Say hello to our audience.
Hi, everyone. Glad to be here tonight. Hope I can offer something of worth.
Thanks, Tab. And I also have the lovely and talented Tammy Keith. Tammy, are you out there tonight?
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. So you guys, you kind of heard where I'm taking this conversation, right, this topic. What a girl wants versus what a girl needs. And it seems like we as women, we are always in need of something. It seems like when a man attempts to please us in one area, we'll go over to this area and we'll begin to complain. Is that just me or do you ladies feel that way? Tabitha, I'm going to shoot that at you. What do you think?
I probably am pretty unusual in this regard. I don't tend to be the type of person that cares to leave it to someone else to provide me with anything, my wants, my needs, my happiness. I feel like, and it's kind of my old adage of my mother taught me long ago, and this has to do with money, but I started thinking it through. It really has to do with everything in life. She told me when I was very young, before I started working, she said, if you ever find yourself poor, you need to know that if you get money and you're not happy, she said, if you're poor and you're unhappy, then you'll just be rich and unhappy. And I find that to be the same. If you find a mate and you were unhappy, you'll just have a mate and be unhappy. So I think it's very important to find your peace, your happiness, the things that make you happy, the things that give you delight. I have found that the best way to make yourself happy and the easiest way to do it consistently is to find happiness in very small things.
Okay.
And by that, I mean I literally get excited when I find my favorite pretzels in the store.
Okay.
I'm happy. It fulfilled that need. It's perfect. I don't have to go outside. It's not extra. It's I don't have
now, wait,
to pay
$1,000 for it. I want to challenge you right there. You said to fulfill that need. Now, do you think pretzels would be
just
a need
me
or
happy.
A want? Okay, okay. So would you consider that a want?
Well, that was a want. I mean, your needs are all basic. I think your needs are as basic as they are for a baby. You only need room, you know, room and board, shelter, food, air, hopefully health, to just fulfill your needs. And those are your basic needs. You really don't need anything beyond that. I mean, not actually, not in a very practical sense. You don't need anything beyond that. I would like a new purse. I would like a new ring. I would like some Jimmy Choo's before I die. But I don't have to have them to be happy. I don't have to have them to be at peace. As long as I have a roof over my head and food in my, you know, pantry and a warm bed to sleep in and I'm at peace and I have some connection and some, you know, oneness with my Lord, then I'm fine. That's for me.
Okay.
I'm not saying that works for everybody.
All right. Well, let's hear from Tammy. Tammy, what do you think? What do you think, you know, a woman needs versus what a woman wants? And do you think that a man is able to complete everything that we need and everything that we want? And if not, give us your take on that.
I Okay. I somewhat agree with Tabitha, and then I don't. I agree with her in the sense of we do have to find our own happiness within ourselves. As a single woman, I did that. But as a married woman, let me just give you an example. When me and my husband met, and you know, we haven't even known each other a year yet, but we met and we were going out. So Valentine's Day of this year, we were getting to know each other. And I, you know, being single for as long as I was, I knew what I wanted. So he had told me he had this big thing planned out for us, but it fell through. But he didn't want to come home empty-handed, or he didn't want to come to me empty-handed. So when he got to me, and it's so funny because I already knew, I had a premonition that I was going to act the way that I did. He had beautiful white roses and a gift for me. I acted upon fool because I felt like he should have did what he said he was going to do. So as a woman, my want was I wanted him to surprise me with this fancy dinner or whatever the case was, but when it fell through and he did bring me something, you know, I acted crazy. So we always want, back to what you said earlier, it's never enough. We always want more. When they do one thing for us, we want more out of it. So we do have a tendency of not being satisfied with what they give. You know what I mean? Like they can do all that they can for us, and then it's never enough. We'll find something else to complain about.
It's interesting because as I listen to Tabitha and I listen to you, it seems like you two do agree about some things, but you do have a different perspective on, you know, the subject matter. Would it be fair to say that every woman's different? Would it be fair to say that some women can be, quote, unquote, high maintenance to where, you know, things that you might not need, they may need, or things you may not want, they may want or feel that they want or need. Is it fair to say that? And if it is the case, do you know of any women that you might know, whereas, you know, you see them putting stipulations on relationships, like if he can't pay my light bill, then I can't be with him, or if he can't give me money? Because, you know, I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot from women who say that. I have even said that at times, like if you don't have anything to bring to the table, then I can kind of, you know, I can do bad by myself. And I've been, you know, guilty of saying that, but I really truly mean that. I really mean that, you know, if a person doesn't have anything going for themselves, then I really don't need that person in my life. Now, one might say that's selfish in terms of a relationship, but I believe that if I desire to have a man who is working, I'm not saying a millionaire, I'm not saying a man who makes a whole bunch of money, but what I'm saying is a man who's trying, he's trying to work, he's trying to make ends meet, you know, is that enough? You know, it's enough for me, whereas it may not be enough for the next woman. She may need a man with six figures, and I've heard women say that. I'm not going to date him unless he has six figures. Okay? So at the end of the day, is it fair to say that it depends on the woman? What do y'all think?
I do. I mean, I actually have a philosophy about that. Have had one for a long, long time. In fact, I was going to write a book about it. I was so excited. And what I classified women as, and this is after years of observation, was they're high maintenance and they're medium maintenance and they're low maintenance and they're no maintenance. And I counsel both women and men on the subject because I tell the woman, you need to know what group you're in. You need to know, and none of these are judgmental. If you are high maintenance, if you are someone who requires certain things in order to maintain your happiness, fine. If you're in the middle, fine. Low, fine. No. No is rare, by the way, but there are some no's out there. I've met a few of those women. I'm a low maintenance. I don't need a lot to make me happy. You can bring me a Coke and I'd be perfectly ecstatic if you brought it at the right time. But I have a best friend that's high maintenance. She requires, you got to pay my bills, she got to do this, she got to do that. If you don't call me back in 2 hours, you off the list. I mean, she has some very specific rules. So I think that all of those things are fair to to say about yourself if you're evaluating. What I say to men, though, is it is important that you know what type of woman you have, because if you are not up to the task of taking care of a high-maintenance woman, then you can't be surprised when she becomes unhappy. And then
Tab, I don't mean to cut you off, but that brings on another subject, okay? So you kind of categorize the women as being low maintenance, middle maintenance, or high maintenance, and I think that's brilliant.
There's a few no maintenance. I don't need a man.
Really?
You know,
okay.
Though. There's a few though.
Okay, I don't know any woman like that, but okay, anyway.
Oh, no, there's a few though.
Okay, but the point is that you made a point that the man should know what type of woman he's dealing with or that he's dating, okay?
Yes.
And I think on the flip side, a woman should also be able to identify what type of man she's dating, meaning if you have a guy with a mediocre job and you know he cannot afford a $10,000 wedding band, then you might have a problem.
Right.
Would you agree to that?
That's exactly my point.
Okay.
That's exactly my point. And to go a little bit further to that, this is really the key I try to explain to women. What happens often is, I'm going to give you a great example for maybe a high-maintenance woman. She's a woman that requires a lot of attention. And in the dating cycle, she ends up meeting this man who's of a certain financial wealth. So initially during the dating process, he gives her a lot of attention. But what she doesn't understand is in order for him to provide that type of financial level, he has to work a lot. So at some point, his attention has to be drawn back to the things that he was providing for her to make her happy. So now she's in a situation where she gets things, but she doesn't get his time. So that's why I say for the woman, it's important for you to balance and know how much in that. If you're truly high maintenance and things will make you happy, then maybe being married to a brain surgeon is perfect for you. He's not at home. He provides me with the wealth I want to be accustomed to, but he's not in my face every day. That may be great.
Okay.
But if you're maybe a little bit more medium maintenance and you require maybe some wealth, but you require some sight, you need to see him, touch on him, feel on him. You need to be at home. You want him to be on one of the dinners every now and then. The brain surgeon may not be the best person for you. You may have to tone it down to maybe a pediatrician. He has a 9-to-5 job at his local gazebo. So he's going to be home at night. He's not going to be able to put you in a mansion, but you will live very comfortably. So you really have to know both yourself and what you can and cannot tolerate. And I think that's the most important thing.
All right. So I'm going to direct this. Thank you, Tab, for your feedback and your insight. I'm going to direct this question to Tammy. And then in just a few minutes, callers, I'm going to open it up so that you can ask Tammy, Tabitha, or myself any questions, or you can just make your own comments. So, Tammy, this question is for you. So do you think there's some point in your life where you're able to determine your needs versus your wants and understand who you are as a woman, understanding those needs a little bit better, and understanding how a man is able to complete you? I think that's a whole bunch of questions, but I guess what I'm trying to say is there some point in your life that you feel that you mature enough to understand how you need a man to help complete you?
Yes. I mean, I think I've gotten to that point, and I can't say that I've gotten to that point completely, but being in various relationships and being with the man that I'm with now, I've learned, you know, from previous relationships of what's really important and what's not. So my needs versus my wants, I guess. And so what I need in a relationship or in a man is someone that shows me attention. I mean, I'm the baby of a family of four children, having three brothers and being the only girl. So, of course, I need attention. I'm one of those type of women that needs attention. I need my man to show me some attention, to talk to me, and then when we're out in public, for people to know he's my man, for him to just act like, you know, I mean, for there not to be any question of who I'm with.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I've grown, you know, some things that used to make me mad that a man didn't do, I don't get as upset about it anymore. And it could be because I don't have those issues anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to worry about him wandering off and doing all this kind of stuff. I know he's my dude. I know people know he's with me when they see us together. So I guess with time and maturity, I can't say that I've lessened what I wanted or needed, but I think I was able to get those things, seek the man that I felt like I wanted to have or God had for me, and see that man. Because even before I met him, there were guys that tried to hit on me or talking or whatever, and it was like after the first conversation, I knew they wasn't the one because of the conversation. You know what I'm saying? So it's not
exactly.
Like my list got any shorter or I minimized anything on my list, but I was mature enough to understand that I don't have to settle for anything, that I can still get the things that I want and things that I need just by being patient and waiting. So I guess it was, you know, some maturity had to come along with that, but not having to give up the things that I felt like I needed and wanted.
So, well, it seems like, you know, at some point in life, because I've got to be honest, I've got to be the first to admit, I have not always understood my wants versus my needs as a woman, okay? Because I have not always been a woman. You know, I've been a young girl. We all have been.
Mm-hmm.
If you're men out there, you may not be able to relate to this, but as you mature as a woman, you don't have your emotions all over the place, or you should not, because I believe that with maturity, a change should come about, not only in who you are mentally, physically, but also spiritually. I think that as you grow, you should grow for the better, or the betterment of yourself, and not necessarily go backwards, okay? And that's just my personal opinion. But what I have found is that in my relationships, it was clear as to what I wanted and what I needed at some point. But I didn't understand why it was so hard for men to grasp that, or a man to grasp that. You know, you could tell a man, I need more attention, okay? And it seemed like they would give you a little bit more attention, and then it would dwindle out, and then they'd go back to their old ways. Or, you know, I need you to show me public affection, hold my hand, or I need you to communicate more. Okay, but then didn't get it. Why do you think it's so hard, or why do you feel that men sometimes think it's so hard to understand us? And this is directed to Tab. Why do you think that is? And then I'll go back to Tammy, and then we'll open it up for the audience. Why do you think it's so hard for men to understand our needs versus our wants?
Well, I think you've already articulated it. Part of the problem, and this comes from, again, talking to a lot of people, a lot of women in particular, most women don't know what they want. They've been mm-hmm. brought up in different situations where they didn't have a father figure, or they didn't have a male figure who could kind of help them with what do you want, what do you need, to kind of guide them through that process. So they go into their 20s, and they're kind of still trying to feel it out, you know, trying to figure out what makes me happy, what makes me tick, what makes me, you know, what you know, gets my intellect stirred, you know. So they go through that process. Well, the problem is the man doesn't know. I mean, men are simple creatures. So for them, if you say that you have a problem, they instantly think they have to solve it. When mm-hmm. in actuality, a lot of times for women, we just want them to listen. We really don't want to hear their solution because we're going to pick our own anyway. But I think what I have found in dealing with men, and I think that it's probably growing up around boys and men, I've understood this more clearly and probably had better relationships with men because of it, is because I am always very direct and clear about what I want. If I say mm-hmm. I want affection, I actually go into detail. I want 5 kisses on Tuesday and 3 on Thursday and 2 slaps on the butt on Friday. And you better meet them. I mean, and it seems silly, right? It seems silly, But and it might seem a little, you know, like, oh, that was very specific. But you know, men actually appreciate having very specific things to do. You know,
so detail.
Not to make that. Yeah, they like the detail. They like being able to say, I want 5 red roses on Saturday, and then on Sunday, I just want the white rose and carry it on your head in a hat. Whatever the case is, I think that it's important to know exactly what it is you want, articulate it clearly, and then leave it. Don't nag about it. Don't come back to it. If he doesn't do it, you already know he didn't do it. He knows you didn't do it. Treat him like an adult, and he'll respect you for it. You treat yourself that way. And you say, these are the things I need. And then when you're in the relationship and you come to a situation where it's 2 or 3 times and they don't do it, then you go to them directly. You say, it's obvious you can't provide to me the things.
Hello, it sounds like Tabitha may have got cut off. Tammy, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here. Could you hear me? I'm sorry.
No, I think you got cut off there in the middle of your conversation.
I might have muted it accidentally. Let me switch it to
Okay. No problem. So did you your comment? Did you finish your statement?
Yeah, what I was saying is, and I don't know where I left off, but I think my point still is, and I'll be brief here, is that men appreciate being very specific about our needs. And
right.
I think it's best for a woman, if you're really not clear about it, I always suggest go write it down. A lot of people don't understand how the brain and the hand works together because when you were writing as a child, you learned to form your thoughts. But as you speak to people, you become very casual, so you forget how to form things, how to think things through. So often I tell people, go sit down and write what it is you're feeling, and then write down what you think would make you happy, and then go back to that person, and by then you will have found the words to say, I want 5 Snicker bars and 2 Cokes and a thing full of some strawberries, and then I want you to leave me alone because I'd like to cry for 5 minutes while I watch The Color Purple. Those are very specific desires. So they're clear on that. They can get those things. They can put those things in order, and they can get out of your way. And then they're happy. They're happy
well,
because
you know
they've
what,
gotten
Tab,
simple
I'm,
instructions.
Tab, on the flip side, I truly believe that there are men out there who are just not designed for you. I believe that there are men out there who cannot give you what you want or what you need because they're not built up in a way to be connected to you in that way. Spiritually, you may be attracted to them physically, but because of how you're structured, your upbringing, your culture, your environment, sometimes that can clash in such a way that you can communicate it, you can write it down, you can give them specifics, and that man still, in the same way with women, this is not a male-bashing show tonight just because John
is... Oh, no, not at all, not at all.
But it's the same way. It's the same way with, you know, with a man, on a man's perspective. You know, some people just are not designed for you, and I think we as women, when we're dating, you know, and we're trying to establish that relationship, we have... This man may have a lot of good qualities, or this female may have a lot of good qualities if you're a man, but we try to push it and push it and push it and make
right.
it that bitch
exactly.
instead of saying, you know what,
exactly.
I just
we
see
just
that
don't
this
fit.
Joker ain't going to be able to give me what I need.
Right.
Holding
and
on.
Maybe it's just it's a square peg and it's a round hole. It doesn't mean the square is wrong or the round peg is wrong. You
it
just don't fit.
It just doesn't fit. So I'm gonna throw this question to Tammy real quick. Thanks, Tab, for your insight. Tammy, and before we open up to the audience, I want to throw this question out and we can go to the audience with this question. Do you think it's possible for a man to complete you?
No, not completely.
Can you explain why? Could you?
Well, because kind of going back to what Tab said earlier, I mean, you know, in order for us to be happy or to feel completed in any way, that's something we have to do for ourselves. A man is kind of an accessory. He's just something to help along the way and to help you. Maybe you stumble on your goals or something like that, and he's there to push you. But it's still up to you to do what needs to be done. It's still up to you to say, this is what I want and this is what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? If I want a ring and my husband doesn't.
Hold on for one moment.
If I want a ring and my husband doesn't buy it, if I really want it, I have to go buy it myself. You know what I'm saying? So,
exactly.
I mean, they can only do so much for you, but I don't think they can completely complete you. You have to complete yourself. You have to know what you want and go for what you want on your own.
I love that answer. Hey, I'm going to thank you, Tammy, for your insight. I'm going to open up the lines right now for our audience and our listeners out there, and you can direct any questions to Tabitha or Tammy or myself. Just please state the name, or you can have a general comment or concern or question, whatever. So is there anybody out there who would like to comment on the topic, what a girl wants, what a girl needs, any of the topics that we've talked about or the subtopics?
I'll jump out there. Hello, everybody.
Hi, is this Mr. Keith?
Hi.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm going to, first of all, agree with the statement that Tabitha said a little bit earlier. And good evening, Tabitha.
Good evening.
When you said you agree that most women don't know what they want, it is a presumptuous presumption to assume that a man can carry the load over something that hasn't been completed in you for 30 or 40 years. It just don't work that way.
Right.
At the end of the day, if you're a grown-up and you're mature, you have to be able to satisfy yourself before you can even be a satisfaction to someone else. And if we're talking about Christian women, you ought to find fulfillment in Christ. And when you find fulfillment in Christ, then you'll be able to show that fulfillment no matter what you went through before, because the Word says that we are new creatures. Behold, old things are passed away. And what Tammy said was a good point, that a man is an accessory. Well, I disagree with that statement. We're not accessories. When God needed somebody to till the Garden of Eden, he called a man. When he needed someone to lead the people out of Egypt, out of bondage, he called a man. When he needed somebody to come down 42 generations, he created, he sent himself wrapped up in the image of man. And with that call, we're far more than an accessory. Now, to get to the point of the topic tonight, it's exactly the title that you have, What a Girl Wants, What a Girl Needs. What a girl wants and what a girl needs ought to change when a woman becomes a woman. And those girlish wants and needs ought to have some growth and maturity when she becomes a woman. Those needs and those wants ought to be more readily defined. So I'm just simply here, I'm just listening, and I'm going to take the position of a spectator, but looking from a Christian perspective, there ought to be a maturity about being a woman, especially a woman in Christ, where these things and these wants ought to be easily identified. The truth of the matter is we have all we need in Christ. Now, the things that we want are things that if we don't get them, we still should find our joy and our satisfaction in Christ and in his word. Having said that, I'm going to complete my last point in 15 seconds. You can't be a gift, and a woman should be a gift to man, if you're not a gift to yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to be a gift to yourself. And these things that you outgrow, these things that you'll lose, these things that will be no longer of use to, these material things, aren't the things that we ought to be pursuing, especially if you're talking about marriage matters, because it really goes back to even the conversation we had last week. It's a covenant relationship. And these things, what the Bible says, where moths and rust come in and thieves come in to destroy, those are the things that we ought to be pursuing if we're in a Christian marriage. Now, if you are in a secular mindset, you're in a secular mold, then, yeah, you ought to find somebody that can meet every one of your whims and desires. But that's not the way it works in a Christian marriage. A Christian marriage, you pull together and you look at each other's needs. You know, the word says that Jesus looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. And that's the same mentality that we're about to have. If your spouse or significant other doesn't meet your need, you ought to look beyond his fault and see his need. Now, yes, a man should be treating a woman in a certain way and doing this and doing that, but the biggest killer of any relationship is insecurity. The biggest killer of any relationship is a needy partner in that relationship. And what I refer to him as is a person that's leaky. The more you pour into them, you say you pour time into them, you pour gifts into them, the more they want. They're leaky. Nothing holds them. Nothing holds them. So you have to be at a point where those holes are filled before you even consider getting into a relationship, much less putting that load on a man to complete you.
Woo! Well, can the church say amen tonight?
Hmm.
You know, it's funny.
Amen.
Yes, amen. It's funny, but I strategically put that topic out there hoping that someone would have some insight concerning the topic. I was hoping that a woman would get it, what a girl wants, what a girl needs. And Pastor Keith, you called it. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, I must say. And I totally agree with what you said. In marriage, in a Christian marriage, it is a give and take, but you should work together. And that, you know, as you become this woman, there should be some growth. There should be some growth. And I know of needy individuals, men and women. I've dated, you know, a needy individual before who just was so needy, it was so draining that I realized I didn't need him anymore. But, you know, there are women out there who are so needy that it's just draining. You know, they're needy with their husbands, they're needy with their friends, they're just needy, and that's the way they are. So with that said, getting off of needy, let's go back to the topic. What a girl wants, what a girl needs. Do you think a man can complete a woman? We've got all these subtopics out there. Anyone else in the audience that would like to talk or make a statement or ask a question?
Well, I mean, as long as I was married, I never thought of our relationship as one or the other of us having to complete each other. I really found that we were more of a complement. It was very much akin to the things that I was strong in, he may have been a little weaker in, and vice versa. And together it was like a strong partnership where though he was still the head, I could support him in certain ways, and he relied on me to give him that support, and vice versa. And it's funny because people would always say to us when we were early married, they would always say, you guys are like more like brother and sister than you are like husband and wife, which I found peculiar because I always thought because I had a brother and I was very close to my brother as well. And I found that the relationships were actually quite similar in a lot of ways, as far as being supportive and being there for each other. But back to the topic, though, I will always say this, and I kind of feel like men do kind of get the short end of the stick on this, is because women don't tend to be very specific about who they are. And I think that they find it difficult to struggle through that process, and that people label them, and then you have to work out of your label and kind of kick through those doors. But what I want to speak to, the pastor said something that also made me think of something. A friend of mine, we used to go places, and these men would always talk to us, and these women would come up to us, and they would say, why are these men so fascinated with you guys? You're not especially pretty. You're not especially smart. You know, there's nothing special about you. And I used to tell them, they speak to us because we're confident. They know that when they've walked to us, up to us, we're done. We're a finished product. And mm-hmm. So whatever we bring to them will be to help them. As if they're going to be our head, we need to be in a position to help them. And we can't help them if we're steady picking up the pieces of our own broken life. I said, so that's what that's what attracts them to us, is that it's our confidence. It's the fact that they know we're not relying on them to put pieces of us back together like a puzzle. The edges are done, the middle is done. You know, we're finished. And now our job is to help you. So
exactly.
I wanted to throw that in because he made me think of that. And I always got that, and I always was tickled by people like, you're not that pretty. I don't have to be pretty. What I do is I'm confident. I know what I bring to the table.
Right.
And I'm
exactly.
And I have no problem relegating myself to the role that I'm supposed to be in, which is he's my head if he's following the Lord, and I am his helpmeet. I don't have a problem with that. And
that's
someone
right.
who is happy
and
complete and peaceful and at joy can be in that position and not have a problem.
That's
so.
Right. Okay, so with that said, do we have any other men on the line tonight? I want to hear from another male perspective. Are there any other men out there? And if so, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think you can complete a woman?
Hi, lady.
Hello.
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 Yes, yes, we can hear you.
I feel like a woman needs a man to be there for them through all the struggles and to listen to, you know, just stuff that her friends will listen to, you know, if, you know, she ain't got a friend around, you know, if he's at the house, just listen to what your woman got to say. You know, some men, they're too busy, you know, just stuck in front of the TV watching sports or, you know, worried about stuff that went on at work, stuff like that. But sometimes it's good to just sit down and talk to your woman and just listen to, you know, what she has to say and, you know, just be there for her as a friend and, you know, as her man. And they also want to feel that comfort of protection, you know, somebody
okay.
there to protect their family. And
yeah.
sometimes it,
I think,
you don't have to,
okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, sometimes you don't have to be the provider, but you know, as long as you're, I feel like you have to bring something to the table as a man.
Okay. So basically you're saying that, you know, a man should be able to cater to his woman needs in whatever aspect that is and to learn to put his own desires aside or the things that he might want to do just to support her in whatever way.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that it's possible for a man to totally complete a woman?
No.
Okay. And why do you say that?
My perspective as a man, women are so needy. So just a man being in a woman's life is not going to complete that woman. She needs family, you know. And sometimes a woman doesn't know what she needs. You know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes women are just, you know, I as a man, I'll never be able to understand a woman, but I feel like a woman, you know, they're so needy. I mean, and sometimes they'll say, I don't need anything, and then 5-10 minutes later, they'll need something. So. It's like you're in a win-win or a no-win situation, but you know you just have to, you know, be patient with your woman, and
mm-hmm.
you know just understand that you are a man, and God will give you patience, you know, if you really love that woman.
I like that. I like your perspective. Thank you, caller. Are there any other callers out there other than the calls we've heard of? From who would like to also make a comment, ask a question? We have the beautiful Tabitha Briscoe on the phone. We have Tammy Keith. I know her husband is somewhere not too far from her. So, hey, feel free to talk. Who's out there tonight? Do we have callers who are afraid to talk? I know we have
I've been cut off.
Go ahead, Pastor Keith. What do you have to say?
You know, Tabitha's point a little while ago, she was making her second point, and I really, really loved what she had to say. Because she actually transitioned the conversation when she was talking about how they used to go places and men would step with them. Men do like confidence in a woman. They really do.
Uh-huh.
And because what that confidence does, it does move to the point where a man feels like the woman can compliment him and vice versa. And what she really did, I don't know if she realized it or not, but she actually transitioned the conversation from the external to the internal. And I really like that because it is an internal thing. It's not you can dress yourself up all you want to up on the outside, but still be tore up from the floor up. And it's not the dolls and scents that create you or make the person. It's the inside, the inner side. You know, it's times as a man, it's enough for us to go in and out the door to work and fight the battles we have to fight out there, and then come back in to pick someone else up. Sometimes, if you really look at it, and I'm not trying to be selfish, I agree with what the brother said. There are times we have to listen, but sometimes you can coddle a person too much where you're not helping, you're actually handicapping. Sometimes somebody has to be brave enough to say, hey, look, you ought to get past that. You're at a different stage. Let's start looking at it through a different side of the glass. The glass is always not half empty.
All right. Well, that's
a
great way to look
compliment.
At it.
I really like that word, compliment.
Yeah. You know, it brings me back to when my husband and I, when we first met, you know, I always carry myself with a sense of confidence. You know, if anybody's going to be the life of the party, it's probably going to be me. However, when my husband met me and I was able to let down my guard, he was able to see all of my brokenness. And I allowed him to see that, him to see that for the first time, you know, meaning I had never let another man see that brokenness. But I was at a point in my life where I was ready to be healed. And I wanted God to heal me, and I wanted to be a changed woman, a different woman, a new woman, you know, with my emotions. You know, I was, you know, I'm a Christian. I confess to be a Christian, but I still had a lot of healing with relationships because as a child, my trust was broken with a man. And so through my life, I always painted a certain picture of every man. And that was that one day he's going to hurt me. One day I'm just going to wait for it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look for it. I'm going to go through his phone. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to see. Not that I'm a stalker. Don't get me wrong, because I ain't no stalker. But anytime I felt something, you know, I would immediately start looking for stuff. Almost self-sabotaging the relationship because I wasn't needy from a financial perspective or standpoint. But I was needy in terms of my emotions not being met, okay? And because I had been hurt so much, I just almost felt like that in any relationship I was going to be hurt. But I finally met a man who I was willing to let everything out and to show him my heart. And then whatever he chose to do with that, he was going to do with that. But I felt in my heart that John would be able to see me for who I was and love me for who I was. And in that, he had a lot of patience with me. There were times that it was ugly. I got to be honest. There were times that, you know, I broke down and I would cry late at night. And I had so much brokenness to the point that God used him to help heal me. And so I think a lot of times as a woman, because we've dealt with a lot of hurt and pain, we go into that next relationship with the same needs, the same wants that we came out of, you know, that last relationship with, opposed to looking at ourselves and understanding who we are and learning who we are as a woman, who we are as a woman in Christ, and how God is leading us and how he's calling us to be, and he's calling us to wholeness in him. And once I was able to learn that, I saw things totally different. I was able to allow God to heal me. I was able to learn to trust again. I was able to learn to love again. And I was able to, you know, conduct a healthy relationship. But my husband, it was him that gave me a whole totally different perspective of what a relationship really was. You know, I thought I had been married before. Yeah, on paper I had, but the relationship part was not there, you know. And so my husband was able to introduce that to me. And, you know, the other gentleman that we had talked to, he talked about having patience. And I think that's very important. And some, you know, some men or women may not have that patience for you. They may not want to hear it. They may tell you just, you know, it's time for you to move on and get over it. But some things are so deep that you just can't move on overnight. But you have to know in your heart you can't carry it on for years and years and years. Either you got to go out, get counseling, get help, you know, pray, ask God to heal you, and then allow God to heal you, because no one wants a pity party. And they don't want to be around a victim 24/7 or a needy individual. Anyone like to say anything? We have a few more minutes.
No, I think I agree with your point. I mean, there are broken people on both sides, for females and males, I mean, by gender-wise. And so that process can come from anywhere. I think that if you pray to God to send you someone to help you heal, maybe you're having difficulty healing on yourself, I think God sends who he needs to send. And that may or may not be a mate. That could be a good friend. That could be a coworker. It could be anybody that God so deems. I mean, you know not why he does what he does, but he does it, and he does it well. So I think in your case, it just so happens that he sent a man, because your need may have been to reassure you with a man, because your brokenness had come from a man. And his real probably message to you was, I control all these men, and I am God, and I can send them, and I can send whatever I want to send to make sure that you remember that it all came from me. So, but again, when it comes to it, you still were not completely prepared to be with him until you were healed. And I think that's the most important part of that story, which is, as women, in order for us to be good Christian wives, we really do need to come to the table healed. And if we can't be healed, we certainly should ask to be healed, because the only way to uplift and keep uplifted someone who is the head of your household is to make sure that you're that strong piece standing behind him. Because, you know, people always say it's the weakest link of the chain. It's like anything. Your house is weak depending upon the weakness in it. And so I think that's important, and I think that's good that it came to you like that. And I think it's a good thought that for you to let women know, hey, your healing may come from the one angle that your hurt came from in the past. So don't just count God out and say, well, he's just going to do me like everybody else did me, because that may be the one he sent to change your mind, to change your heart and your perspective, so that you can be that person.
Yeah. You know, I think from my stance, I didn't want to continue life being the victim. You know, my thing is, yeah, you want at some point for people to feel sorry for you and encourage you and tell you things will get better, and don't hold on to that. But at some point, you have to make a change. You have to grow up, and you have to say, you know what, that's part of my past. But where God is taking me, I'm not going to take that into the future with me. Because what happens is all that residue from your past, you'll take it into your future, and it will sabotage your future. It's basically self-destruction. And at some point, you have to be mature enough to say, I was hurt. I was wrong. I went through a lot. But now it's time for me to leave that behind and be healed. And when God healed me, he did something great. Once he healed me, I was able to accept true love. And it did not come the way I thought it was going to be. It wasn't all packaged up in a bright red bow. It wasn't. It didn't come. I'm going to be honest. My husband, when I first met him, I just saw him as a friend. But God had a different plan. And so when we're dealing with our needs versus our wants, we have to ask ourselves in a relationship, is this really something that I need him to do, or is this something that I really want him to do? can we do without my wants? Because really in a relationship, it's not all about you. But what I've learned is when I tend to put not my needs aside or my wants aside, because I'm special too and I have needs and I have wants, but when I tend to cater to everybody else around me, it seems like that my needs and my wants are always met. It seems like I can think about something and God will have somebody to pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, I want to bless you with this or I want to give you this. And sometimes it's just a small thing. And I'll go, oh, my goodness, I was just thinking I needed one of those. And that's the way God does. When we stop being so fixated on what we need and what we want and focus on loving others and giving to others, all of our needs will be met because he promised us. He will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We have a few more minutes to have a few more conversations or comments. Anyone else like to talk out there? Let's talk. Tammy, do you have anything else to say?
Oh, no. Very good topic tonight. No. You said some real good points.
Okay, what about your husband?
It was a great show. I think Tammy and Tabitha did a great job tonight. I learned a lot too, so I really enjoyed this show.
That's great. What about you, Tab? Anything else?
I could go on for a long time. So I'll stop myself here.
Okay. Well, so, I really
it was a great topic.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad you all enjoyed it. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I really can't speak for every woman out there. And I was honest about a lot of things earlier. I've struggled in past relationships where I was never satisfied and never felt complete. And it wasn't until I realized that it was me who was incomplete. Yes, there may have been issues in the relationship that I was in. But I could not always pinpoint the problems in the relationship until I dealt with my own personal issues. You see, when I started with the woman in the mirror, I surrendered to God's will and allowed God to complete me. That's when I discovered my needs versus my wants and what was major versus minor, what I could or could not do without or what I needed more of or less of. You see, once I discovered my needs versus my wants, I was able to discern and make better decisions concerning the man who would best satisfy me in every way. This did not happen until I was honest with myself and matured from a girl to a woman in Christ. In my experiences, no man could or can totally complete me. I am complete by God and his son, Jesus Christ. Now, my husband helps to complete me, but I still long for something greater, and it's not the affection or attention from another man. It's an intimate relationship with God. In my opinion, I believe we were created so that hope could fulfill us completely. Otherwise, there would be no need for God. And we would, as women, would make a man our God, and God forbid of that. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 reads, for in this way, in former times, the holy women hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Help supply all of our needs, God, and help us to get over our wants because you are all that we need. Bless us, bless our relationships, bless our marriages. It is in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Tab. Thank you, Pastor Keith. Thank you, all of you callers out there. I think the male caller may have been my son, David, if that was you. Thank you. We love you all, and keep calling in to the Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good night.